Hello, and welcome to this episode of the Hospice News Elevate podcast. My name is Jim Parker. I'm senior editor of Hospice News and Palliative Care News. And today I'll be talking with Anne-Marie Schwitzulis, CEO of Hospice for Byatta Home Healthcare. And we'll be talking about the importance of storytelling in hospice sales and marketing. Anne-Marie, thank you for being here. I wanted to start by asking, why is it so important for hospices to reach patients earlier in the course of their illnesses?
It's really important for everyone to be educated and understanding of what the benefits of hospice can be. To be able to get patients into hospice programs earlier really increases satisfaction for patients, the quality of life of their end-of-life days, and it really is better for the patient, the family, and the entire healthcare system. It improves pain and symptom management, and usually we can control pain and symptom management within the within 24 to 48 hours, allowing patients to actually have quality of life and live those final days.
And what are some of the ways that hospices can educate the public and potential referral partners about the work they do?
So hospice education is always ongoing. I think that the more that we can do to normalize conversation about hospice and end-of-life care, talking about end-of-life wishes, advanced care planning discussions, talking about goals of care in everyday conversation, and really stressing the importance of everyone writing down exactly what it is that they wish for their final days. So it's so important for hospices to partner with everyone within the community to have those conversations. And because hospice professionals are experts in facilitating conversations and really normalizing that conversation, it is an honor to be part of those. And it really is the responsibility of us as professionals to have, you know, to get the word out there, to talk about community outreach and having informational events that really stress the importance of those decision making for patients earlier in their trajectory. We all know that the Medicare eligible citizens are what we're 10,000 Americans are turning Medicare eligible every single day. So that means that we should be having more conversations and earlier conversations. If the averages are, correct by what we have 54 million Americans that are Medicare eligible today, and in 2030, that number will increase to 80 million. So we need to start having conversations earlier because the population, one, is going to be in need of those frequent conversations, and the healthcare system needs us to have those conversations earlier. So this needs to be a culture shift for all of us to actually empower people about choices, and hospice should be leading that way to having those conversations earlier.
That does make a lot of sense, especially as you noted, given the aging population. It's a topic we shy away from far too much with real serious detrimental effects. I imagine this would also help dispel some of the misconceptions and fears that people have about hospice.
Absolutely. I think that there are so many myths and, fears out there regarding hospice care, where if we can get patients onto the program earlier, the narrative will change. People will be able to experience all the services that hospice has to offer. The problem with late referrals is that it continues to feed into those fears and myths, because people come on to the program, and if they're only on the program and have the benefit of hospice for 3 days or a week, that just feeds into the fear that hospice, you join hospice and you die right away. Well, that's not the philosophy of hospice, but when we get a late referral and we want to embrace and take everyone on and love them no matter how long they're on our program, whether it is that very short length of stay or the entire benefit, which was designed for 6 months and beyond. But if we don't get those patients earlier, we continue to feed into that fear and myth of hospice patients coming on and dying so quickly. As a hospice professional, it pains me to see patients who don't have the maximum, use of the benefit. So many die before they have a social worker or a chaplain visit or any spiritual care counselor visit. They die before they actually get to do some of the legacy projects and reflection on life and really have that full breadth of family counseling that hospice can offer. And even though, patients will say to me, "Oh my gosh, you made such a difference." And in my heart and in my head, I'm saying, "You were only with us for 3 days. If we really had an extended period of time, even 3 months with a patient, the services that we could offer that family, not only triple, they go beyond that. And helping people earlier with grief and processing is really the overall goal of hospice, is really to help people go on living after loss. I think that's where we really can help the community and society as a whole, is to help people begin the grieving process while their loved one is still with us and really processing all of that, and having those conversations with their loved one so that when the death event occurs, and I know here in America, we try to avoid it and don't think it's going to happen, but all of us, eventually are going to pass away and die. But the more prepared we can be and the more we can honor that loved one's wishes, the greater our coping after loss and the ability to go on living increases dramatically. And I think that's the greatest gift we can give to the community as a hospice, is to help people grieve better and earlier, and then really help people go on living after loss.
Thank you. And what is the role of storytelling in the kind of education we're discussing?
So storytelling is so powerful. It's a powerful tool when it comes to promoting hospice care. People crave emotional connection and comfort in vulnerable times. Life-making decisions are so important for connections. I think that storytelling and connecting with individuals on a personal level makes that comfort so much, enhances that comfort so much. So taking out the medical terminology when talking with patients regarding their decision to enter hospice care is so important, because it makes it really brings that relative to them, meaning that if I can relate to a patient because of a story of an individual who has had an experience like theirs, or connect with them on that most important human level and build that trust and open conversations about what it can look like and be for their end of life journey, and take really a lot of that medical jargon out of the way and really focus on what is important to patients and families. I think it's extremely powerful, and it allows them to write their own story by experiencing the stories of others who have gone before them.
And do you think that the story of former President Jimmy Carter and his family can help hospices get their message across?
Oh, absolutely. Jimmy Carter has been on hospice for care for 16 months now. in contrast to his wife, who entered hospice and passed away within 2 days. So it's so important that well-known public figures who are really challenging the common myths about hospice care, and a huge win for public education efforts. I think the story of Jimmy Carter and the care that he's receiving and entering hospice so early is really helping others acknowledge and understand that hospice care can be beyond 3 days or a month, or you don't have to be actively dying to experience hospice and actually promote ongoing living and giving life to days that people have remaining. When it comes to quality of life in your final days, people should be empowered to make decisions that are best for them and their families. The fear should be eliminated. And, you know, here with hospice and as a hospice professional, Beata helps patients and families determine what is most important and when it comes to making those final decisions. And I think Jimmy Carter has been an inspiration to all of us in the hospice community and within the industry to say, you know what, take a look at this. Look at how long hospice patients are eligible for hospice and remain eligible, and how many services they and their families can receive. So it's been vitally important. I'm a Detroiter, Motor City girl all the way through. Aretha Franklin was only on hospice for a couple of days, but I can tell you that just her story within the Detroit community made such a difference and an impact. And I think every time you hear the news about somebody that's, you know, passed away, I always listen for, you know, they died on hospice service. And then that gives us just a sigh of relief that, hey, this was a planned event, that they received hospice care, which in my heart tells me that everybody in the family was in agreement. They were in agreement that hospice services and this expected event was planned. And it just gives my heart joy in knowing that. So the more that you hear on the news or in reading about public figures that have passed away, knowing that they say, and now it's very public, that this patient passed away peacefully on hospice, it just brings that community awareness that, hey, this was a known event, it was expected. Their suffering ended. They entered hospice care. They were surrounded by love and support for those final days.
And how can providers use stories like these to promote their businesses and reach more patients in need?
I think that using Jimmy Carter's story is helping to normalize hospice care and the event in a longevity perspective, meaning that, hey, you know, these are things that we should strive for, that we should strive for empowering people to make choices on how they want to spend their final days. Providers can amplify the news coverage in social media and other community channels like newsletters and community events to really promote these stories and situations to say that hospice care is good, that it should be a celebrated event, and that people should be empowered to make their own decisions. Advanced care planning and goals of care conversations should always follow these events, talking about what is most important to you and bringing it to everyone. Everyone should be challenged every day, regardless of their age, to say, what would you want? What would you want at end of life? Have you had that conversation with your loved ones? Have you ever heard mom talk about what it is that she would want? And that at every death or funeral, it should be a reflection to yourself and to your family about what it is that you want and what they want at end of life. So when it comes to quality of life in your final days, people should be empowered to make the decisions that are best for them. And I think that's very important as we look at and reflect on what providers can do to engage in their own storytelling and trumpet stories about patients and families and testimonials. I think that, you know, having celebrations on social media that promote hospice patients and granting final wishes and those things should be really promoted on social media and within for providers to be able to have that platform.
And could you tell us how Biata has addressed this in its own marketing and communications work?
Yeah, so we're constantly educating the public. We're heavy on social media about hospice care. We really put out a lot of 100th birthday celebrations of our hospice patients, whether it's anniversaries or birthdays or celebrations about what hospice patients are doing and how the hospice team is supporting them, including their storytelling, their stories on, you know, different media platforms and really saying, this is something that we're promoting and surrounding our patients with love. You know, less than a year ago, we launched a campaign called Comfort Can't Wait. And this conveyed that hospice care is laid out all the benefits of starting hospice earlier. We have earlier is better campaigns, just saying, you know, the earlier you can get on to hospice care, the more we can have emotional conversations with you and your family and actually plan these events, highlighting patient stories and hospice goodwill and efforts all throughout the community. And by sharing this message, it's best to enter hospice care earlier. We found that proactive referrals to Beata make up about over 60% of patients we see at end of life. And we can define proactive referral as we do not come to the hospital after an acute admission, but that's how we define it so that we can get our patients earlier and more often so that we can impact our actual referral pattern to be able to outreach to more. We found that more patients and families are requesting hospice services directly or going into their physician's office asking questions. And I think that's what we can all do is really bring up hospice first to your physicians. Go in empowered with a hospice discussion, whether it's at diagnosis or throughout treatment courses for whatever disease someone is facing, and give permission for the physician to enter that conversation with patients and families earlier. Often, you know, physicians are waiting for that opportunity to step in and talk about final wishes and hospice care. And if we can empower patients and families to bring up that conversation, it really does help the physician practices to be able to have those conversations earlier.
Thank you for listening to the Elevate podcast by Hospice News, a WTWH media publication. Once again, I'd like to thank our guest, Anne-Marie Swichulis, as well as all of you for tuning in. I hope you take good care.